help us to get into where we're going and knowing that there's a Passover. Since January, we've been going to do this final week of ministry, giving up your crucifixion to yourself and Israel and the resurrection. It's really helpful to take the time to study through all of that. Sometimes, that's the final week that you're planning to eight sermons, like the Palm, or a couple of them, like the Palm Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. And sometimes you can read through these really familiar passages on autopilot, and we're not really listening to what God is saying, but He wants to speak to us. So thank God for the opportunity that as we've been studying through Mark, we've been able to slow down and get the big picture of that, how all these different last week ministry events, how they all related to each other, what they mean. Significant to Jesus, it's a permanent to Jesus. Jesus thinks this since the beginning, like day one of ministry and message is from what? Jesus, we think the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the first part of Jesus' ministry is all last year, all of 2018. The first part of Jesus' ministry is all after the conditioning of the question of who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? And Jesus might walk off to say, you are the Christ. So Jesus is the kingdom of God. It is God Himself who is the God who is all of that new comprehension of the Jesus to take on the flesh of God and blood of our children who love you and deal with us. He is appointed by God to be the Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer, and the Counselor. And typically, all that happens is done. It's fulfilled because Jesus is here. But after that, to repent and believe in the gospel, I turn to the second part of Jesus' ministry that we look at, which is Jesus teaching and demonstrating what it means to respond to the truth of who Jesus is. What does it mean to repent and believe in the gospel? To trust in Him as our Savior, to become a follower of Jesus. And so, and look at that, all of these things in the whole year spent in conversation with the Black on that. The final week that we've been looking at, that this all is just to do with this justice. This is especially true as we read of the last Thursday that we can take you through as we tell you during the Thursday and what is the Passover. So if you would allow me, I'd like to read for us Mark 14, verses 12 to 31. There's a lot of verses, so if you want, I'm going to read for us, and we'll just grab a big piece of that, and we'll come back and read these pieces. So here we go. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when He sanctified the Passover lamb, the disciples said to Him, "Where will you have a stone prepared for you to eat the Passover?" And He said, "Jesus said to His disciples, He said to them, 'Go to the city, Jerusalem, and then carry a jar of water will meet you. Call for him, and whatever he initiates, send him after the house, the teacher said, "Where is my bread stand where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a water upper room furnished and ready, there prepared for us. Disciples stood up and went to the priest and found the priest that he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Then he came with the cross. And as they returned to the temple and communion, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one of you will leave me." He began to be sorrowful and say to him one of the others, "Is it I?" One of the twelve, one of the chicken bread into the dish with you. So the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And as they were eating, he took bread. And after blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body. And he took the cup. And he was given thanks to give it to them. And they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink with you in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung it at him, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. Let's bow together with me today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to come together, to study your word, to speak understanding. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to understand your word and its application to us, what you would speak to us this morning. Father, I pray that you would help me to speak to you, to lead me to study this passage with some really complicated things in here. And I pray that you would help me to speak what is true and what is right, and that you would teach all of us from your word this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verses 12 to 16 record Jesus' instructions in preparation for the Passover meal. Mark tells us that on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, the disciples said to him, where will you have to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? So the Passover was what? Passover. It's the celebration of God delivering the people from the bondage of Egypt. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread celebrated God's people after leaving Egypt. And so the Passover came first, and it was always celebrated on the 14th day of the first month of the Hebrew religious calendar. And because that calendar was lunar based on the moon, 14th was always on a Thursday. And the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which came next, was celebrated on the 15th day of that first month, which would have been Friday. Luke, looking at what God records here, presents a chronological calendar. Because clearly, as you look at it, you see that the disciples are asking on Friday about what they're supposed to do on Thursday. They try to strike that three times, you know. And if that seems confusing, it is, right? And the backstory in that confusion is probably because in those days, there were at least two different ways of measuring time. One was Jewish and one was Roman. So the Jews measured time a day with what? From sun down to sunset, right? They just put it on the roof, right? Sunset, I'm not going to say that. And the Romans measured time from sunrise to sunrise, right? So there's this overlap, and that gets confusing, and it really isn't the point anyway. My point is about the preparation, and the fact that we need to get on with the preparation and the instructions that Jesus gives the disciples. Preparations that had to be made and lambs that had to be sacrificed by sundown on the 14th, and they had to be eaten by sundown on the 15th, which is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So midday on the 14th, work came to an end, and a representative of each family, usually the head of the household, would take a lamb over to the temple
And about 3 o'clock or so in the afternoon, they would blow a ram's horn. The priest would blow this ram's horn, and the worshippers who were filling the temple court, right? That's an area that could fit maybe 100,000 people, it's huge, right? And the base of the temple are closed, and the family representatives, they killed the ram, they skinned it, they drained its blood into a basin that was held by a priest. And then the priest would take that blood and would sprinkle the blood on the altar to signify the atonement for sin. And then the fat and the kidneys were burned on the altar as a peace offering between the family and God. And so this lamb that was killed, sacrificed, killed in the temple, became a consecrated substitute sacrifice for the family. Then the head of the household represented took that lamb home for sunset, and that the blood was sprinkled on the lintels and the doorpost of the house. And then the lamb was roasted and used to the Passover meal, and the meal that had to be eaten in Jerusalem because that's all they could do. He used Passover meal for sacrificing Jerusalem to Jerusalem. They need to prepare. We've got their herbs together, and unleavened bread, and there's wine, and the rain. And of course, I'm sure you're asking the question of where and when questions are answering all that happened. Page 13. And you can't do this to the Bible because of them. This is instructions, right? Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he goes, very happy. Sitting after that house, Jesus says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover without a father? And he's going to show you that room and send his son, and if you're not there, you can prepare for us. This is kind of something like a movie, kind of a spy movie, you know? Jesus says to him, say unto him, right? There's a part of those spies that he's going to do that. And he would say unto you, and I know he's going back and forth. Men of the new culture, they don't carry water jugs. It's reserved for stuff like this. So it's served, it's ready for the disciples and Jesus, and in that room, that's where you prepare this meal. And if you were to go to Jerusalem today, there are a number of different options. There are two somewhat credible options, kind of, possible locations for that upper room, one of which is located over a Jewish shrine that venerates the tomb of King David, where David is not there, so it's a sign for that. And then over Jesus didn't make those arrangements out of fear. He knows where all these events are leading, and he's indicative of all that. He's moving through all that with wisdom and focus and purpose. So why all this secrecy? But if you read ahead, you're supposed to read John's gospel account of this. So Jesus teaches. The read ahead to what Jesus told, what becomes really clear is that Jesus is really, really, really good at this. asking God to exactly what he has purposed and predicted and preparing his disciples for. Going on, verse 17, brings us to the Passover meal, right? When he came with the cross, and as he reclined at the table, they were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one of you will eat me." So when Jesus and the disciples, they were traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, and they were on the way up to Jerusalem, and they got home quick and close to God, they were coming into town, and he said, Jesus predicted he was going to be betrayed. And probably, given the context and the reaction and everything we read there, the disciples thought he hadn't paid a whole lot of attention to all of what Jesus had said. But he reacted to it, but it hadn't sunk into their hearts. The scripture was coming from Sam, and now Jesus is specific. One of them is going to betray him. And the disciples are sorrowful. They are grieved for one of them to do such a thing. And so each one of them, in turn, including Jesus, the disciples ask, "Is it I?" And Jesus identifies the betrayer as someone who is in the same.
And the Seder ritual developed from these In Jesus' Day rituals. And we also have instruction. We have the Torah, the five books of Moses, what Moses said about all that. And what we have is what the rabbi said about what Moses wrote about all that. So there's a reasonable understanding of what that may have been like back then. And more importantly, we have the gospel record about what Jesus is teaching about himself through all of that. What Jesus wanted his disciples, truthful hours, to press into. So the Passover is an amazing ritual of remembrance that focuses on God's faithfulness and grace and delivering his people. And during the Passover, the head of the home, which in this situation would have been Jesus, taking on that role, the head of the home led them through the ritual that remembered. And the remembering of God taking them out of bondage to Jesus and then living in the freedom of being God's chosen people. And during the course of that evening, Jesus took unleavened bread, unleavened symbolizing without sin, and he broke the bread and he distributed it to his disciples and he declared, "Take, this is my body." Jesus' body, which the disciples would soon see as he was out in their place, sacrificed for him for them. During the meal, they drank wine, potentially four cups of wine. Each one had its own symbolism. Probably it was just before they drank the third cup, which came, Paul tells us came after the meal, that Jesus, after giving thanks, he passed the cup around, they all drank from it, and then Jesus supplied the cup to himself. He said, "This is my blood of the covenant," which is poured out for a minute. Think about that. Throughout Israel's history, God had sealed covenants, relational agreements between himself and his people. God had sealed those covenants with the blood of sacrifices. And God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah about the coming covenant made by God, which would be unlike any other covenant. This is the prophecy that's worth reading. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt and Passover. My covenant that they broke, and I had a miserable deal with them. For I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after their days, declares the Lord. I will put my law with me, and I'll lay it on the heart. And I will die, and you will be my people. And then I will tell each of the people to David and his brothers, saying, 'Know the Lord, for they shall all know me.'" That's the relationship that I have, right? "And will live for them for the glory of the church of the Lord. So I will forgive their iniquity, their sin, right? And I will remember their sin when I am." How do you do that? Right? Jesus is proclaiming that his blood is the seal of that new covenant between God and his people. It allows the disciples to see the blood of Jesus being poured out to his fathers and his people. And then Jesus proclaims, verse 6:25, "Here in the city, I will not drink again of the tree of the vine, but the glory when I drink that new one you can make up." That's not something that you before the last cup of the Passover is done, before the meal is the cup is finished by the ending of that meal, Jesus says, "I'm not going to drink that cup. Not now. Not until the ministry is complete. Not his body hasn't been broken yet. The blood of the Passover alone, Jesus, it hasn't been poured out. The covenant isn't established. But Jesus will drink that final cup. Jesus is going forward to when he drinks that cup. One who's going to betray Jesus is what God has written, what God is doing in all of that, more than the symbolism, is the Savior. Jesus is confident
that is intending to fail and fall into position is not going to jeopardize his ministry. The new covenant will be established. He will reign on the throne of David over the kingdom of God forever. He will drink of that cup. Going on, 3:26. Look at Jesus Christ. Right? And when they had thrown him, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The hymn is probably one of the Hallel songs, right? Hallelujah, praise God. That song came in 1518. These songs, 113 to 118, the tradition is trying to Passover songs to focus on the real and ongoing presence of God in the lives of these people, trying to focus on praising God for the truth and the life and the blessing. Ringing in the ears of the disciples, they make their way out of Jerusalem and down to the Kidron Valley, which is the valley just to the east of the whole temple complex, and they make their way over to the Mount of Olives, the west slope of the Mount of Olives there, probably to the bottom of that mount, because this is the setup, right, because they're coming to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the lower western slope of the Mount of Olives.
that is bigger than me. Thank you.